Welcome to the Locked On Warriors podcast, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat reporter for the Mercury News. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off on your next order. On today's show, I'll tell you about a way the Warriors could fill a major team need before draft night, how they could take advantage of Detroit's reported interest in LaMelo Ball, and then break down the fake trade idea of the day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
In all of the reports about the league and its players' greeting to start the season on December 22nd, something has been overlooked. And that's that trades can start being made on November 16th, 2 days before the NBA draft. Now, this is interesting for a lot of reasons, but for the Warriors sitting there with the number two pick and a $17.2 million trade exception, they could theoretically use the TPE before the draft and then fill a team need before making that number two pick. Now, I don't know that they're going to do this, but it could make sense to just go ahead, draft the best player available, and then see what happens in free agency before using the trade example. For example, if they think that they have a chance at Marc Gasol or Serge Ibaka, they might not want to use the trade exception on a center before free agency opens. There's several other free agent centers that they might be more interested in. Paul Millsap, Mason Plumlee. Does Danilo Gallinari want to take the mid-level exception? And maybe you don't need to use the trade exception on a scoring big. There's a lot of ways that this could play out, but it's at least an option for Golden State. Okay? I don't think that they would go ahead and use the TPE on a center. Like I said, there's too many centers in free agency that I think you need to take the temperature on those guys. Now, there's ways around that, right? I mean, just because free agency doesn't start a day or two after free agency or after the draft doesn't mean that conversations aren't being had. Even if those conversations are illegal, there are still ways for these front offices to take the temperature, kick the tires on some of these guys who are going to be free agents. And if the Warriors get the inclination that none of these guys are going to sign for that for the mid-level exception, then maybe they do go ahead and use the trade exception on a guy. That said, I don't really know who the trade exception guy would be. Just Memphis feel motivated to move off of Jonas Valanciunas? Do they like the combination of, you know, Bjelica and Rashawn Holmes from Sacramento? Maybe they could do something like that, but there's also going to be minimum guys in free agency that they might be interested in, Aaron Baines, Myers Leonard, etc. But the real reason that they would use a trade exception before the draft is if there's a player out there who they really covet in a trade, who's better than anyone they could realistically get in free agency, that's the kind of player. And so I'm not even looking at centers, because I think the difference between a center that you can get the trade exception versus a center that you can get at the mid-level exception or even with the minimum, I don't think is that big. I don't think there's that big of a difference between the guys that we're talking about. But when we're talking about other positions, point guard, wing, this is a weak free agent class for that. And this is a point guard heavy draft. But the Warriors might not want to get a rookie point guard to back up Steph Curry. They have Steph Curry, first of all. LaMelo Ball is going to need playing time to develop. I don't think the Warriors could realistically give that to him. They're not, I mean, you've got guys like Killian Hayes and Tyrese Haliburton who could play off the ball, but I don't think they're in the conversation for the number two pick. And so maybe there's a point guard out there, or somebody who could play multiple positions on the perimeter, and now all of a sudden you have less of a need for that in the draft. Now, I think the Warriors could use a couple of those guys. I mean, really, in today's NBA, you can't have too many versatile perimeter players. You can't. But let's just say, for example, Milwaukee, they want to move off of Eric Bledsoe. The Warriors could use the trade exception to absorb Eric Bledsoe, freeing up cap space for Milwaukee to make moves or whatever it is that they want to do, Maybe it's part of a three-team deal where Bledsoe ends up on Golden State and Milwaukee gets a new point guard. I don't know. But let's say hypothetically that Eric Bledsoe ends up being an option for the trade exception. The Warriors go ahead and take absorb Eric Bledsoe into their trade exception, and he fits. And then that eliminates any sort of need, any dire need, to add more ball handling. Maybe freeing things up to go and get more of a 3-and-D wing, like Devin Vassell, or maybe even move back in the draft a little bit, or go ahead and obviously take a center like James Wiseman or Nneka Okongwu. I mean, that could be at play for them. Now, ultimately, I don't think that that's what happens. I think that they go ahead and they have the trade exception available to them. Maybe something materializes on draft night where they want to use a part of that trade exception or the whole trade exception or whatever. But I think they'll go ahead and take this number two pick because I don't think that you could really justify who you take here based on team need. I think you need to thread a needle, certainly. That player needs to have playing time available to him so that he can develop and reach his ceiling. But I think they need to go ahead and just take the best player available regardless of position. Whoever it is that they think would be most valuable, not only this year, but 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years from now, who turns into the best player? Who is most valuable in today's NBA and tomorrow's NBA? That's more what they need to be thinking. Although, having options, like being able to make trades before 2 days before the draft, doesn't hurt. Not for a front office that is approaching the most pivotal offseason of, you know, the Bob Myers tenure and needs to nail this and now has probably a lot less time with an abbreviated offseason than they thought that they would have to really fix up this roster. Coming up, what would it take for the Warriors to trade down to number 7, and which team is interested in moving up to number 2 for LaMelo Ball? That's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors. On tomorrow's show, Charles T. Hamilton will join me to break down some of the prospects the Warriors could be targeting in the second round of the draft. But first, according to a report, the Pistons are interested in moving up for LaMelo Ball. And already people are talking about whether or not the Warriors should trade down to number 7 to, with them, move back in the draft, acquire some future assets, and then that leaves the Pistons. You know, if LaMelo doesn't go number 1 to Minnesota, then LaMelo might be there. And I think the Warriors can start wheeling and dealing. Now, I've maintained that the Warriors probably don't want to drop back that far in the draft. They really would like to stay, I think, in the top half of the lottery. Preferably, I think, in the top 4. Top 4 picks would be where they would prefer to be. But, you know, there's a price for everything. And so I think the question worth asking here is, what could the Pistons offer that would get a conversation going, that would at least force a meeting in Golden State's front office? If Detroit were to offer number 7, Luke Kennard, and a future first-round pick, I think that justifies a meeting if you're the Warriors. It has to. Because you're moving down to number 7, you're still in the lottery, top half of the lottery. You're getting a future first-round pick that you can use as an asset in a trade down the line. And Luke Kennard is a good player. He's a few years removed from being picked in the lottery himself. 40% three-point shooter. Averaged 4.2 assists per game last year. He only played like 25, 26 games or something. He was injured, but he was a good player for Detroit when he was healthy. And it seems like he was coming along. Now, I don't know that the Pistons would be willing to throw him into a deal to move up, or if they'd be willing to include Kennard and a future first-round pick. And obviously that future first-round pick would have protections. But if I'm the Warriors, that's where it starts, to at least have a conversation. And when you kind of break down the mock drafts, even if the Warriors move down to number 7. And look, I think another part of this too, it's assuming that LaMelo Ball doesn't go number 1. That means that one of Anthony Edwards or James Wiseman went number 1. So if the Warriors really covet one of those guys, and I think that of the two, they prefer Anthony Edwards. So if Edwards goes number 1, and they're sitting there at number 2, and Wiseman's there, and LaMelo's there, and maybe they're thinking, you know what? You know, let's pick up the phone and see what people are willing to offer us. And the Pistons come out there with 7, a future first rounder, and Kennard. Okay, well, if you're the Warriors, you can fill a need at shooting guard. I think another guy on the perimeter who can shoot, handle the ball, obviously, can move the ball, play make a little bit. Good basketball feel, still young, upside. And number 7, and if you, again, you break down the mocks, The Warriors should be able to take one of Tyrese Haliburton, Devin Vassell, Patrick Williams, Aaron Naismith, Aneke Okongwu. I mean, most of those guys should still be there at number 7. So if the Warriors are particularly high on any of those guys, maybe it makes sense. Maybe that makes sense to move down. Maybe it's something that you could do after the fact. If the Warriors take LaMelo Ball at number 2, they could open up trade talks at that point. Now, I don't think that they would do that without knowing what kind of deal they're going to make first. But that would be the way to at least see who's there available. But I think it's safe to say most of those guys will be there at number 7. And all of them make sense for the Warriors. And the Warriors like all of them to varying degrees. Now, to me, it's probably still not enough if I'm calling the shots. I still think you owe it to yourself to go ahead and use the number 2 pick and take the best player available. But like I said, it at least forces a conversation. At least forces a meeting. Now, I don't know what else Detroit can talk. Maybe they could throw in a Sfi or something like that. Tony Snell. I don't think the Warriors are high on Tony Snell, and he's got a player option that he has to make a decision on anyway. But the more I think about this, the more I like it. I just still think when push comes to shove. And by the way, I like it especially because Anthony Edwards would presumably not be there. If Edwards is there, go ahead and just use the number 2 pick. Take him. Done. But if you can move back and get Vassell or Patrick Williams or Tyrese Haliburton, I'm doing that, man. And then you can get Luke Kennard in the process. You start feeling a lot of needs. A future first-round pick. I think it would force a conversation, but I still think in their heart of hearts that the Warriors wouldn't make that move just because it's still pretty far down. You're not getting a sure thing in Kennard or that future first. And you don't really know who's going to be there at number 7. And I think the Warriors have a pretty clear top few guys who I don't think would be there at number 7. And they may feel more inclined to just go ahead and use that number 2 pick. Maybe they would be more willing to move back if it was to 3 or 4. Number 7 is pretty steep. It's going to take a lot for them to make that kind of move. Coming up, our fake trade idea of the day involves Drew Holiday. If you haven't already done so, now is a perfect time to hit that subscribe button to get episodes of Locked On Warriors every day. If you haven't checked out last week's conversation with Rick Barry, I really recommend it. It was a wide-ranging, fun conversation with a Warriors legend. Worth your time. That would be in your podcast feed. Again, subscribe to Locked On Warriors. Every Monday, I break down one random fake trade idea, and today's comes from Michael Lewis, who writes in with the following trade proposal. Hey Wes, I've been following the Drew Holiday discussion and an idea occurred to me. The general consensus is that the Pelicans would prefer the number 2 pick over a package of Caris LeVert and the 19th pick. So this has developed into an idea for me. New Orleans receives Garrett Temple, the number 2 overall pick, and the second round pick from the Warriors owned by Brooklyn. Brooklyn receives Drew Holiday. And the Warriors get Caris LeVert, number 13, and number 19. The Warriors could have a starting lineup of Steph, LeVert, Klay, Wiggins, and Draymond Green. Or you could try to flip Wiggins plus one small contract for Horford and Richardson for a lineup of Steph, LeVert, Klay, Green, Horford, and Richardson as a six man. Feel free to answer this in the mailbag. Thank you, Michael Lewis. I will. All right, I'm going to ignore the second part of that as far as that second trade for Horford and Richardson. But... The conceit of a three-way trade that sends the number 2 pick to New Orleans, Drew Holiday to Brooklyn, and Caris LeVert to the Warriors does interest me. I think that makes some sense for all sides involved, right? That is the idea, right? That New Orleans, would they really want Caris LeVert back from Drew Holiday? Is LeVert a better fit next to Zion on Brandon Ingram than Drew Holiday? I don't think he is. I think if you're the Pelicans and you're rebuilding, like, LeVert is a nice player, but he's approaching his prime already. He's got injury concerns in his past. Again, the fit isn't as clean. And if you're New Orleans, you could think about it as, hey, can we flip LeVert basically for the number 2 pick? And I think they would say yes to that if that were an option for them. For New Orleans, you obviously get... Or I'm sorry, for Brooklyn, you get Drew Holiday, who's a great fit next to Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. kind of this high-level 3-and-D guy who can obviously handle the ball and run offense for you if Durant and Irving are on the bench or if they're, you know, injured or missing games for rest or for whatever reason. I think Brooklyn would make that trade. LeVert for Jrue Holiday, I think they make that trade, right? I think they make that exchange when push comes to shove. But the Pelicans, I don't know, would make that. But if it were, again, like the number two pick, I think that that would be something that was more enticing to them. And then you've got things like, you know, Garrett Temple involved just for salary matching purposes. That to me, you know, that you have to throw that in there. New Orleans, you know, keeps a guy on the wing there with Garrett Temple, a nice veteran presence alongside those young players. But for the Warriors too, if they're able to get 13 and 19, so you're getting a lottery pick at number 13 plus a 19th pick in this draft and Caris LeVert for number two, that makes me think about it. Now, I've always maintained that the Warriors are going to move. They want to acquire a future all-star with a multi-time all-star with the number two pick. And it would take an all-NBA type talent for them to move off of that number two pick outright. But if you can also get the 13th and 19th pick in this draft, plus Caris LeVert, who was wonderful in the bubble, show that he can run an NBA offense in the bubble, fill some of these team needs. For Golden State, you could bring Caris LeVert off the bench if you want. Steph, Clay, Wiggins, Draymond Green, your sort of traditional five there, and you bring Caris LeVert in off the bench in that Andre Iguodala role, that could work. Or, of course, like Michael Lewis said, you move Draymond Green to full-time center. He starts at center. And you have Wiggins and LeVert on the perimeter with Clay Thompson and Steph. So, again, it forces a meeting if I'm the Warriors. I don't know that it's enough, man. I still don't know that it's enough. 13 and 19, you're falling way back. The 19th pick sounds great. Who are you really getting at number 19 in this draft? I don't know. You could probably get, like, a nice role guy. But you could find role guys in free agency with a mid-level exception. And how many rookies do you really want to add to this veteran team anyway? We're already having a conversation about the number two pick being a rookie and the Warriors need to win now. Do you really want to add two rookies instead of one with not as much upside? I think you could find a nice player at 13. Like Sadiq Bey could be sitting there at 13, and now you've really filled out your entire perimeter need. And then you can go ahead and sign a center or two in free agency. I think it would work, but I still think that Caris LeVert, with his injury history, it's not as clean of a fit, right? If he can come in and start right away, that'd be one thing. If you were a cleaner fit next to, you know, Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, I think maybe you think about it a little bit more. And if, you know, maybe it was the 9th or 10th pick instead of 13, obviously that would help. But 13's really far back. I mean, when you look in the past and what guys that you get at 13, we're talking about kind of rotation level players. Where in the top two or three, you're getting high-end starters for the most part. And that's a big difference. And I think the Warriors can use a high-end starter, right? Like, maybe he doesn't start right away, but down on the line, that's what they're looking for. Not a rotation guy. And look, the argument would be that Caris LeVert would be the high-end starter going forward. Maybe that's true. And like I said, this is enough to at least force a meeting if you're the Warriors. But ultimately, I don't think that they would pull the trigger on it. That's just what I feel, you know. That's just what I think. Talking to people, what their priorities in this draft are, I don't think it would be quite enough for them to do it. Just like I don't think Jrue Holiday by himself would be quite enough for the Warriors to move off of number two. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, say nice things about the show. Thanks to Built Bar for sponsoring today's episode. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and I'll see you here tomorrow morning.